23. Psalm 23. This is a passage I preached through a number of years ago that I'd like to again have us look at. Psalm 23. Of course, Psalm 23 is known as the what psalm? The shepherd's psalm. Years ago, I was looking for a picture, a painting that I grew up seeing in our home, in my grandmother's home. It was a kind of a painting of a lamb that was caught out in a snowstorm. And over this little lamb was a collie that was howling. This collie had found this little lamb out in the snowstorm. And I had mentioned this years ago that I was looking for that. I couldn't find it. I'd go to antique shops and I could not find it. And there were some folks in the church, I don't know if some of you remember, presenting that to me. Somebody found it in an antique shop, had it framed and presented it to me. And it's a beautiful picture. It hangs up in our home now. A collie howling over this little lamb. I remember pondering that as a little boy, looking at that and just thinking about the message that was in there. But there was somebody missing. It was the shepherd. The shepherd was missing. And we read here in Psalm 23, what's the very first phrase? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's pray and ask the Lord to guide our thoughts and our minds as we look at this one verse this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can I have a couple of you men lead us in prayer? Brother Paul Halad, would you mind just standing and asking the Lord's blessing on this message this morning? And then Brother Bruce Ortel, if you would pray and just ask the Lord's blessing. Brother Paul.
Father, we pray today as we focus upon your word, upon the majesty that it reveals, upon your goodness and your provision, upon your love, that Father, our hearts might truly be tender and open. The Lord, we might see the relationship that you want us to have with you, and the Lord, we might be challenged again to depend upon you as our shepherd, and Father, that we might just be so receptive, Lord, to your leading, that we might be blessed today. Please anoint our pastor and give him the words for each of our hearts. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here safely. And Lord, we ask that as we open your word and listen to it, you can anoint our pastor as he preaches, and our ears and our hearts to receive the message, that we may be drawn closer to you, that we understand our relationship to you in a greater and deeper way. And in your name, we lift you up and glorified in all of these things. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. This is a psalm that you'll see probably the little byline that I call a byline right under the title or the number of this psalm. This says, this is a psalm of whom? Who's the writer? This is the psalm of David. What was David's occupation as a little boy? Only a boy named David. He was a shepherd. Here's a shepherd, and he is writing from his experiences. His experiences provided a natural background, and now he's writing and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. If I were to ask you, to whom do you belong? How would you answer that? I would ask you not to answer that simply with your lips, but with truth from your heart. To whom do you belong? The truth is that to whomever you belong owns you and therefore controls you. And that control will be known by your behavior. We think of the relationship of a believer with God, a believer with the Lord Jesus Christ, as that of a master and a slave, and so it is. How many times would Paul write and say, I, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, but also I, a slave, a servant of Jesus Christ? And that relationship is true, but the Christian's relationship with God is also described in another matter, in another manner, that of a shepherd and sheep. You can have sheep, but no shepherd. But you cannot have a shepherd and no sheep. Otherwise, he's not truly a shepherd. God is called here a shepherd. Therefore, he must have sheep. There are sheep who do not have him as their shepherd. Two classes of people in this world today. Those who have God as their shepherd and those who do not. Those who do not have God as their shepherd obviously are being led by somebody. They're obviously following somebody. Everybody has a shepherd, but God is not the shepherd of all. People like to say that we're all the children of God. That's a lie from the pits of hell. We are not all the children of God. Otherwise, how do I become a child of God when I become saved? I must not have been a child before. He came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I became a child of God at salvation. Jesus even talked to the Pharisees and said, ye are of your father, the devil. In other words, you can have your father, the devil. That makes you a child of the devil. There are those who do not have God as their shepherd. Folks, the majority in the world today cannot say truly, they can say it with their lips, but they cannot say from their heart, the Lord is my shepherd. Somebody could say that and I could say, no, he's not. Look at the life you're living. God does not lead you to do what you just did. God does not lead you to take his name in vain. God does not lead you to steal. God does not lead you to murder. God does not lead you to be involved in that kind of a sin that you're involved in. He's obviously not your shepherd. The focus here is on the shepherd, the Lord himself. I take the theme of Psalm 23 as being this, safe and secure. Safe and secure. And I take the theme for verse 1 as being this. Man, a helpless creature. Because I am likened unto sheep. Helpless, without a shepherd. You are safe and secure when you acknowledge that you are a helpless creature and you are brought into the relationship with one you can truly depend upon. When you can truly say, you know what, the Lord is my shepherd. Two things that man, as a helpless creature, must acknowledge. Here's a very profound outline. You ready for it? Man must acknowledge, number one, the shepherd. Number two, the sheep. That's my outline. The Lord is my shepherd. There's the shepherd. I shall not want. There's the sheep. Let's look at the shepherd first of all. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's look first of all at his name. What is his name? The Lord. The Hebrew word, Yahweh. Or Jehovah. It literally means I am, and it is a reference to the self-existent one. God is self-existent. Who created him? No one. When did he have his start? At no time. You go back into eternity. One of the kids from Kids from Truth was asking me the other night, Pastor, how can it be that God has no beginning? What does it mean that he is eternal, that he is everlasting? And I said, I can't help you there. I cannot explain how God can go back into eternity. Can you? Because I think back in my mind, eternity, and I go, wait, I'm going to a date. I'm going to a certain point in time. I've got to go back a little bit further. Well, if you go there, you got to keep going, because that's everlastingly in the past. And I told this young lady, I said, if you keep doing this, your mind's going to blank out. Have you ever tried to do this? And I said, you know what? You've got to take it by faith that God is everlasting. I don't understand it because I am used to time. God, the creator of time, is everlasting. Psalm 90, verse 2. He goes way back to no beginning. He's the self-existing one, as the self-existing one who provides for him. No one provides for him. Who is his shepherd? No one. He is the self-existing one. That's why he is the ultimate provider, the source of inexhaustible resources. All of us folks depend upon someone else or something else for our existence. God doesn't. Ultimately, absolutely everything depends upon the self-existent one for its very existence. The self-existing one who needs nothing from any of you or from me and who has everything is the one that David says, he's my shepherd. That's his name. By his very name, it says he's the source of everything, the Lord. And then we see his identification, not only his name, but his identification. My shepherd. Well, let's break that down because let's look at the word shepherd because that word shows relationship. Think about it. The self-existing one who goes back into all eternity condescends to come down and call himself to us my shepherd. You know what the Egyptians thought of shepherds? Remember this? When Joseph was asking his family to come into the land of Egypt, he said, now, when you go to Pharaoh, just don't tell him you're shepherds because they despise shepherds. That's the way people in those days looked at shepherds. And yet David says, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. The use of the word shepherd in the Bible indicates one who is a spiritual overseer. Listen to these verses in the New Testament. Jesus in Hebrews 13:20 is called the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 5:4, he is called the chief shepherd. In John chapter 10, at least twice, he says, I am the good shepherd. He is the shepherd. The term pastor literally means shepherd. When you go to the New Testament, you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and Paul is giving the gifts of the Spirit. He says, some God has gifted to be evangelists, some to be this, that, and the other. Then he says, some he has gifted to be pastor teachers. That word pastor there is the same word translated shepherd everywhere else. Some he has gifted to be shepherd teachers. So if I were to use the word pastor here, who's really my pastor? The Lord is my pastor. He's my pastor. Now, there are under shepherds, Ephesians 4:11, but ultimately, he is my pastor. He is my shepherd. In the verb form, I mean, pastor is a noun, but somebody who is pastoring is a verb. What do you think the word pastor means when it's in verb form? If somebody is pastoring, what does that mean? People typically think, well, that means to feed somebody. So when you come to church and you're here on Sunday morning, you're ready to be fed. And that's the limits of what a pastor does, correct? That's the end of his responsibilities, correct? The end of God's responsibility is simply to feed you, right? Wrong. The word pastor, literally, the verb has to do with leading, guiding, caring for, looking after, ruling, not just feed. Think of every place you went this week. Think of every decision that you made, which would be impossible. But can you honestly say, Jehovah is my shepherd, that God led me in every situation? Because that's what a shepherd does. Well, then if God did not lead you, something's wrong with the relationship you have with the shepherd. And you would have to honestly admit, as James 1:14 says, that you were drawn away with your own lust and enticed. You see, sometimes if we were honest, we would say, pride is my shepherd. Power is my shepherd. Pleasure is my shepherd. Sports is my shepherd. And it's interesting that some of these things are in and of themselves are good. They're fine. But they can become an idol. They can become our shepherd. How about this one? My emotions are my shepherd. My disorder. People tell me I have a disorder. My disorder is my shepherd. Yeah, and then you use that as an excuse and you follow that for the rest of your life. Excitement is my shepherd. Peer pressure is my shepherd. Folks, insert anything in there. That's why in your bulletin I have this little blank in the title of the message. It says, blank is my shepherd. What is your shepherd? What is it that you follow? What is it that is leading you? Friends are my shepherd. Money is my shepherd. What is the focus of our lives? The health and the quality of a flock is directly related to the care of the shepherd. A bad shepherd keeps a poor flock. The flock has little nutrition, parasites, and those sheep are constantly looking through the fence at the luscious grass where the good shepherd has provided for his flock. Folks, the people of this world who do not have God as their shepherd are looking on those of us who are under the care of the good shepherd, fenced in from the blessings by the boundaries of sin. And yet they would characterize our shepherd as tyrannical and as unloving. So there you see his relationship, shepherd. Then I want us to see that his identification shows ownership, because the Lord is my shepherd. Let's camp on that one for a little while, because this shows that the relationship is not impersonal. It's personal. He is my shepherd, not the shepherd of the world at large with a multitude as his flock, a shepherd to me. This is in the singular. He cares for me. Would you say this together with me when I get to the word my? The Lord is my shepherd. That means something. He is my shepherd. He cares for me. He watches over me. He preserves me. If you go to a college, you know what a college will often advertise? They will advertise the teacher-student ratio. What is a good teacher-student ratio in a college or in a university? You know, if you can get 12 students to one teacher, that's considered phenomenal. If you get a class that has 18 to 1, that's okay, but that's getting a little bit too much, because you see, when you have too many students per teacher, the teacher doesn't have time to really show personal, to really get personal with each of the students. I remember being in seminary and having a teacher-student ratio of 5 to 1. Where it was I and four other guys with our professor. You talk about specialized attention, but you also talk about specialized accountability. I couldn't hide. What about 1-to-1 ratio? The Lord is my shepherd. By the way, the relationship you can have with this shepherd comes only if you have met the shepherd, according to Psalm 22. You go to Psalm 22, and this is the psalm where we read about Christ's suffering on the cross of Calvary. It's the psalm of the cross. Folks, before you get to Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, you must have met the shepherd of Psalm 22. You see that in verse 1 of 22? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you'll see throughout that psalm places where the Lord Jesus, where you see him. You look at verse 14, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Verse 16, dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture, and so forth and so on. You see the psalm. That's the psalm of the cross. You see Jesus Christ in Psalm 22. You know what? If you have not met him, if you haven't seen the Savior's psalm, you can't get to the shepherd's psalm of 23. Charles Spurgeon once said, no man has the right to consider himself the Lord's sheep unless his nature has been renewed. For the scriptural description of unconverted men does not picture them as sheep, but as wolves and goats. Not everyone is a sheep. I would even add to Brother Spurgeon's note there that some he pictures as dogs. Outside are dogs, it says of heaven. Some are wolves, some are goats, some dogs. Not all are sheep. In fact, only a few are sheep. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And it's interesting that many people can quote this psalm in a psychological and in a sentimental way, but not in a spiritual way, because they don't know the shepherd. When you go to a funeral, what psalm is typically read? This one right here. Folks, at the majority of those funerals, there's not a person there who even knows the shepherd. That's why I say they can quote this in a very psychological, sentimental way and say, well, the Lord is my shepherd. And I say to you, if he wasn't your shepherd in life, how can he be your shepherd at death? All of a sudden, he becomes your shepherd at death. It doesn't fit. The price paid by the shepherd in Psalm 22 indicates the depth of relationship of the sheep in Psalm 23. Jesus, he said in John 10, giveth his life for the sheep. The Lord is, and I know that word's been supplied, but that word is something that we have to understand. The Lord, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not if he is my shepherd, or I hope he is my shepherd. Can you say this morning, the Lord, my shepherd? Can you say that with confidence? Can you say, I know he is my shepherd? Folks, you either belong to him or you don't. And if you don't belong to him, you can only say the Lord is a shepherd. But if you know him as your personal Savior, you can say as your testimony, the Lord is my shepherd. As the songwriter wrote, I am his and he is mine. So man, as the helpless creature, must acknowledge the shepherd. And then he will see himself as he is. Secondly, the sheep. Of all the creatures in the animal kingdom, God calls us, he calls us sheep. That's no accident. Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And we are like sheep in many ways. Unlike many other animals, sheep have to be led to their food. And sheep do not have the instinct of many animals for finding their way home. I don't know if you've ever worked around sheep, but sheep can be very frustrating because sheep are very. I didn't say that. You did. They're stupid. They're dumb. And it's intentional that we are called sheep. I've told you that when I was a boy, I invested in three sheep. My dad bought three. I bought three. I was probably 12 or 13 years old. And the first night, our two dogs killed three sheep. His sheep. No, we didn't know. We didn't have a mark. So three sheep were gone. By the way, the dogs the next day were gone. Not sold. They were buried. And those three sheep were the most stupid things you ever saw. Frustrating. I was reading once about a man who raised sheep, and he said this, I used to raise sheep, and they are the most stupid animals on the face of the earth. They are dumb, and they are dirty, and they are timid, and defenseless, and helpless. Mine were always getting lost and hurt and snake bitten. They literally do not know enough to come in out of the rain. I look back on my shepherding days with a great deal of disgust. Sheep are miserable creatures. That was a happy shepherd, wasn't it? Somebody quoting a man by the name of Stuart Briscoe said this, I do not doubt that it would be hard to find more stupid animals than sheep. For some reason, sheep have a remarkable aptitude for getting lost. They can be perfectly at home in a pleasant pasture until one revolutionary spirit among them finds a hole in the fence. And less time than it takes to tell, they will desert the grass and head for the hole. In 5 minutes flat, there won't be a sheep in the pasture, and there will be hundreds on the road. Honking horns, bleating lambs, screeching tires, baaing ewes, turning the quiet countryside into bedlam. All because some one dumb sheep decided to go astray, leading many others after it. And it's true. How many times have you seen videos of somebody in some countryside and they can't let their car pass because the sheep are where? They're on the road and they won't move. Stupid. And we're called sheep. We're called sheep. The psalmist says here, I shall not want. As a child, that confused me. It really did. Because I'm going, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want Him? Why would I not want Him? Nobody ever told me that this old English word means lack. And I would say, I am not going to say this psalm because the Lord is my shepherd, I want Him. This says, I shall not want Him. Now, of course, we all understand today that that's not what it means. That's not the meaning. Others may think it means that you will never want anything anymore. You'll never have any more desires. No, it means I shall not be deprived. Of no other shepherd can it be said, I shall not be deprived. Can you tell me of any shepherd? You could say, well, that's my shepherd. I shall never be deprived. You can't say that of any other. Others will say, I have a husband, I shall not want. Now, I'm going to be taken care of. You're going to find some problems. Some say, well, I have a priest, I shall not want. I have an inheritance, I shall not want. I won the lottery, I shall not want. You can't say that of any of those. We have this promise in Psalm 84:11, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. But what does it say we shall not lack? Would you look in your Bibles, please? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then there's a period. What's the direct object of I shall not lack? What? There is no direct object on purpose. Because you can just simply fill in the blank with anything. And that's what you won't lack. And so I want to talk about three things, all beginning with the word any. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, and I'm going to add the word anything. Anything. All other shepherds leave you lacking something. All of them. I shall not want anything. And this isn't just a reference to the physical or just to material things that are lacking. Jesus once said that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. So even when lacking things materially, such as money or my physical needs, I can still say, I shall not lack because He is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. I shall not be deprived, not because I have money in the bank, not because I have friends in high places, not because of some skill that I possess, but because Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not lack. As the songwriter put it, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. To the contrary, those sheep under the care of another shepherd, which can only be sin and Satan, they are always lacking because their shepherd never watches them. Their shepherd never tends them. They have freedom. They can eat wherever. They can eat whatever. They can eat whenever. These are the sheep which have no hay in the winter, though. These are the sheep that have no nourishing grain. Those are the sheep that have no protection from storms and blizzards. And all they have to drink is muddy, polluted water. No salt and other minerals to offset sickness. They have parasites. They're under the threat of being attacked by wild beasts. These are the sheep under the shepherd of Satan and under the shepherd of sin, who stand there at the fence, huddled, staring wistfully at the green pastures that we, the imprisoned sheep in their minds, the green pastures we have, because we are tended by the good shepherd. So the emphasis is not upon what I do or don't lack. It is upon the shepherd. He's the one who makes the difference in my destiny. Some of the most miserable people are those whose shepherd is wealth. Have you ever noticed that? They've got all the money they could ever need, and they're the most miserable people. I've heard stories of Howard Hughes. Most people don't even know who Howard Hughes is today. That make me wonder, wow, that guy was really messed up. But he was so wealthy because wealth was his shepherd. While some of the happiest, most peaceful people in the world are those who are economically very poor. But Christ is their shepherd. The difference between contentedness and discontentedness has to do with your shepherd. Jesus, in talking to his disciples one day, looked out over a whole bunch of people and he said, these are like sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 9. Oh, they have no shepherd. These were people who were in search of always trying to get something physical. Lord, feed us bread like Moses did in the wilderness. Always wanting something physical. Never satisfied. You see, folks, without the shepherd, sheep are helpless. It's ironic that today, when Americans have more than ever before, there is so much more discontent. The suicide rate today is higher than it ever has been. You see, security is not in what we have. Security is in who has me. We read about Jesus Christ as being the good shepherd in John 10. And he says, I give them life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The writer of Hebrews quotes the Lord Jesus as saying this, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And then it goes on to say in that sixth verse, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And yet, in spite of that promise, there are some people, some sheep, under the care of this shepherd, who always still seem to think that the grass is greener on the other side. It's like the children of Israel getting out of Egypt and being happy and praising God. And then when things get difficult, they're looking back across the fence, back across the Red Sea, looking back into Egypt and saying, oh, we had it so good over there. You forgot what it was like, didn't you? You forgot what it was like to have Pharaoh as your shepherd, didn't you? That describes carnal Christians, fence crawlers, those who try to have the best of both worlds. I read about a man who owned sheep, who had a ewe with that kind of a conduct, always looking to the other side, always thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. And in his testimony, he said, this one sheep, this one ewe was the most attractive I have ever had. Strong, had a good coat of wool. It was alert. She bore sturdy lambs. And yet there was one fault with this ewe. She was discontented. She was he called her a fence crawler. She gave me more problems than the rest of the flock combined. No matter where, she always was walking along the fence looking for a loophole to crawl through and feed on the other side. And she had the best pasture of all the flocks. She usually ended up feeding on bare, browned, burned up pasturage that was quite inferior. But she always wanted to go to the other side. And as much as this shepherd tried to help her and to teach her a lesson, she never learned her lesson. In fact, she began teaching her lambs the same thing. And she began to lead other sheep to do the same thing that she was doing. So the shepherd finally decided that in order to save the rest of the flock from becoming unsettled and becoming discontented, she had to go. Butcher was the only option that he had. You see, that is the responsibility of the shepherd, is to protect the sheep. even from sheep, he may love. So, I shall not want anything. I shall not want anywhere. Lastly, I shall not want any more. You see the future tense there? I shall not want. The force of the future tense shall is tied to that verb want. Old age doesn't bring lack. Man who has God as his shepherd is not deprived even in the gloom of death. And you're going to see that later on in a psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He that keepeth thee shall neither slumber nor sleep. Imagine a man who loses his house, he loses his car, he loses his job, he loses everything, and yet he's confident. You go, how can this guy be confident? How can he be so positive? And you go up to him and say, sir, how is it that you can be so, man, you lost your house, you lost your car, you lost your job, everything's gone. He says, no, I'm okay, Bill Gates is my brother. I don't know if Bill Gates has a brother, that's why I say imagine. But think about you as a child of God, he is your shepherd, and you lose everything, and you say, you know what, it's okay. I shall not want anymore. The tragedy that many who have never come under the guidance of the good shepherd will still claim the Lord is my shepherd. And yet those same people have never turned from their sin, have never taken up his cross daily, and they are not following him. Folks, if you're not following him, how can you claim he's your shepherd? My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They may claim him. But by their behavior, his mark is not upon them. They do not listen to his voice. And the day may come when they stand before him. And he says what he says in Matthew 7:21. I never knew you. So I close this message this morning with this question. Who has you? To whom do you belong? Our security does not depend upon what we have. It depends upon who has you. So who has you? Can you with all confidence say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd? Or would you have to say, sin is my shepherd? I give in to it. I follow it. Oh, there's times when I seem to get over it, but really sin is my shepherd. You see, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all, even as we have turned to our own way. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. All of us at one time, if you know Christ as your Savior, there was a time when you were a sheep going astray. And there may be some under the sound of my voice this morning, you are going astray. You have never met the shepherd. Oh, you would like to say the Lord is my shepherd, but that's simply not true. And saying that a number of times and repeating that does not make him your shepherd. There's the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. The shepherd leaves the 99 to search the wilderness for one that is lost. And he comes home rejoicing when he finds that one lost sheep. There may be some one lost sheep here this morning. When he comes home, he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Question, to whom do you belong? Can you honestly say, the Lord is my shepherd? If you say, yes, I can, then I ask you, upon what basis? Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Show me from the Bible where you can say, you know what, the Lord is my shepherd. Here's how I know that my sins are forgiven, and here's how I know that He took my sin and put it upon Himself. Can you say that from the heart? Would you bow your heads as we consider this message this morning?